And we're back.
This is Keep It. I'm Louis Fertel.
And I'm Nina Parker.
And where the hell have you been this weekend, Nina?
I know. Well, first of all, happy new week to you.
Oh, thank you.
Happy
you're right.
New week.
It is a new week.
It's a
yes.
new week for us.
I was in San Diego, but
were you
in my town.
Yes.
Roxy Hart, you were in Chicago.
I was in Chicago, which, you know what? I've only been to Chicago one other time. And it was when I was in my 20s and had no money. So
yeah.
It was a different experience. So this time I went back. I was hosting a brunch, a women's brunch for the NAACP.
Oh,
so it was wonderful. So I was able to, I was literally going to buy some tickets from somebody off the street, like to get into the Obama Library.
Oh, sure.
Because I was like, I got
the
to get
ticket.
In this thing.
Because
I was thinking, what can I do? And my girlfriend was like, girl, the library is there. You got to go over there. So I ended up getting invited last minute to an event at the Obama Center. And it was incredible.
Oh, first of all, I mean, like the location is amazing. The look of the building is fabulous. My dear friend Chris Bird is one of the designers of the building.
This is blowing my mind.
Yes.
Excuse me?
He's some gay guy. He's in his early 30s. He lives in DC. He has red hair and he's a genius.
What? I mean, the center was architecture I've never seen. It was so like the words etched into the side of
beautiful,
the building.
Yes.
It was so beautiful. Everywhere you went, there was like you're stuck between trying to get a photo op and trying to absorb what's happening, because there's artifacts in there. There's like, there were shoes from people who marched in Selma. Like, it was so incredible. And the museum was closed down, so we got to just kind of roam. I was in shambles. I was crying. I was like, I'm here for work. I'm crying in every corner. I need to go back home and just come back later.
No, unfortunately, this is an important question. What Chicago delicacies did you enjoy? Did you have real Chicago food or no?
And I was working a lot, so I didn't really get a chance, unfortunately, to, you know, have a good hot dog or a pizza.
I would say Italian beef is way more important than the pizza, I have
is it?
To say. Yeah.
Really?
So it's like what we would normally think of as a kind of an Arby's looking sandwich dipped into like hot juice. Well, like kind of French dip. I can't explain it. It is the world's greatest thing.
Oh, I should have talked to you before I went instead of after. But I'm going to go back because I want to take my parents to the museum. If you have an opportunity to go, if someone randomly is like, hey, I can get you tickets, go.
Yeah.
It's actually worth flying out for the weekend, exploring it all day and having some good food and going back home. It is 1,000% worth going. I don't know how to explain like the energy in there. You feel shielded from what's going on in the world for just a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And it's just something everybody needs to experience.
Okay. Yes. I went to a similar thing, which was the gay nude beach in San Diego. Talk about, let me tell you something.
Experience.
No news gets down
Wait,
there.
There's a gay
you are
nude
hit,
beach
oh, please,
in San Diego?
Please. Oh,
what's
yeah.
it called?
Black's Beach. You take this like ravine down. You are separated from the world. Like the only people like straddling the line between Black's Beach and reality are the parasailers going
like you,
over it.
You sound like Odysseus. You going down into the
You know what
the
I
Black
was.
Beach.
You and by the way, I met Scylla and Charybdis. They are
was
hanging
Cersei
out.
There?
Oh, please. Oh, no, that was me. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Enchantress Island. Yes.
We've got to mesh our worlds one of these weekends because you have some fabulous. You be outside.
Oh, which is, by the way, a crazy choice for me.
Have people seen your stories? You can really be outside.
Oh, yeah. But and by the way,
yes,
as you know, I have this L. Fanning complexion. Like, I'm near death every time I do one of these things. People,
no,
like,
just,
literally
really...
strangers will be like, remember sunscreen. Like, urgently. Like,
they're,
by the way, like, by
you.
The way, I haven't lived in this skin for 39 years.
You're like, I know how to run this.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know I can turn into an Iowa tan any second, you know?
So you just get red.
I have never tanned once in my life.
Oh, my goodness.
I did do, maybe I said this before, I spray tanned once, and actually I was pleased at how
you
it looked.
You were. Okay, but that seems like a lot of upkeep.
Quite.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I know people who, like, get the little tents and do it in their houses. Like, tanning is a commitment. I am very ignorant about it, obviously, but, like, it seems like a very heavy commitment if you're doing it unnaturally.
Yeah, precisely. And also, you have to really time when you do it, because it only lasts so many days. You know what I mean?
Only last days?
Yeah, in my experience,
okay.
Yeah. Because also, I'm not going to shower irregularly.
Oh, you can't shower after.
I mean, you want to keep it on your skin, you know?
Oh, so you can just rub this thing off.
I fucking guess,
Oh, I thought it like melted into your DNA or something.
No.
See, I don't know nothing about this,
No,
baby.
This is just my, so I'm sticking with this porcelain thing I've got going on.
I like it.
The old Christina Ricci and Adam's Family Values.
Yeah,
yes.
Looking like fresh enamel.
Yeah, right. I like to match my teeth. Anyway, we've got a great episode today. Later in the show, we'll be talking about the new Lord of the Rings movie and director Andy Serkis's defense of the film's all white cast. But first, there's one thing that's been top of mind, not just for us, but for the entire world. The Odyssey.
Ooh.
Christopher Nolan's 13th film starring Matt Damon, Tom Holland, Anne Hathaway, Zendaya, Robert Pattinson, Charlize Theron, and so many more premiered this weekend with huge box office numbers and marked Nolan's biggest worldwide opening of all time, topping The Dark Knight Rises. Mm. It was also the first feature film to be filmed on IMAX film cameras. You can hear Anne Hathaway talking about this. She's like, they built a blimp around the cameras so we couldn't hear how loud the cameras are. She's very into the science of it. The film is an adaptation of, get this, Homer's ancient Greek epic poem, The Odyssey, following the Greek king Odysseus's decade-long journey home from the Trojan War and his encounters with mythical beings as he attempts to reunite with his wife, Penelope, not Cruz, who was really good in The Invite. We both saw it. Nina, did the epic live up to the hype for you?
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I thought it was fun. I try to go into things with not, obviously it's Christopher Nolan, mm-hmm. but you know, I try to go into things with no expectations. I look at films as I just want to enjoy this experience and have a good time.
Yeah.
And I went with a girlfriend. She did not like it.
Yeah. Okay.
At one point, you know, if she listens, so shout out to Monique. She was on her phone. Like, I was like, I said, now, girl. I said, Miss Girl, you okay?
Oh, what? Like next to you in the theater?
Yes.
Oh, I'm
like,
sorry.
She wasn't feeling it. Like, she was just like, she said the accents threw her. So, should we say there are spoilers ahead? Because
I guess. If you can be spoiled on The Odyssey, I don't know.
That's a whole conversation is that. Can you really spoil this?
Yeah.
So if there's little things that you don't want to know, like little twists that Christopher Nolan added, you know, just be aware. Fast forward a couple minutes. But anyway, she said the accents threw her, that like everybody was just talking like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she was like, this just feels like a Marvel movie. Like they just started, Spider-Man's in here, Catwoman. So, you know, but I thought it was great. I loved it. I do think Odysseus has ADHD.
Oh, you think so? Yes,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Make a decision. Let's figure this out. And also the spontaneous, like, why are you shooting at people? Like, what's going on? But I thought it was brilliant, honestly.
Interesting. I thought it was entertaining enough. I would put it in the B range.
Okay.
And by the way, I am not the ideal audience for this, really, for any Christopher Nolan movie.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I think he's had maybe two women characters in all of his movies that can be described as full developed characters.
Yes.
Honestly.
Agreed.
Like the idea that we got Emily Blunt an Oscar nomination for Oppenheimer, where she was like, I'm drunk and sitting upright.
Yeah.
Is like bizarre to me. That said, I mean, like the point is the spectacle. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So as I'm being absorbed by the unbelievable cinematography, which I think is the best thing about the movie, and, you know, the worlds that Odysseus visits, that was entertaining to me. I've got to say, I didn't see it in IMAX.
I didn't either.
I have to tell you, I regret it.
You do?
Because the way my friends are describing certain shots in this movie, I almost don't remember them.
Okay.
And I do think there's a majesty, as anybody on the internet can tell you, to seeing it in
Would
that way.
Would you go back and see it a second time in IMAX?
Yes, though I guess you have to book that 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So I just didn't have the wherewithal to do that. Sort
I didn't because I feel like I have sensory issues now.
Yeah.
So if things are, it was already too loud.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, okay.
And that's been a complaint for a lot of people. It was a whole experience. I purposely didn't book the IMAX screen because I just was like, regular is fine with me. Like, I'm not one of those people that needs the chair to move. I don't need all that. Let me just come in here and watch this thing and want people to be quiet and not be talking the whole film. It met my expectations.
The first time I ever saw an IMAX movie was, you remember there was that Michael Jordan movie in the late 90s? It was like
Space Jam?
No. Like a documentary movie.
Oh.
It was like one of the big like IMAX movies to first be released.
Okay. No,
and
I
we saw that
this.
For like my eighth grade trip. And then the principal at our eighth grade graduation made a speech where he accidentally called him Michael Jackson and didn't correct himself.
What?
And girl, I was laughing so hard. So from then on, I was just like, IMAX is, you know, a little ruined for me.
Yeah. You got a little trauma with your IMAX experience. Were there any standouts that you didn't expect?
Well, I mean, I didn't really expect it to be much of an acting movie, honestly.
Okay.
Because, you know, the story here is about an inch deep.
Right.
You know, it's like, will he get home?
Sure.
And then, you know, the wife's waiting, and then she's got that son. And then there's a couple people plotting in the
she's
wings.
To be honest,
the plotting in the wings, I thought was potentially the most interesting movie. Like the Robert Pattinson, Mia Goth.
Sure.
Like, because that to me reminds me of a movie like Elizabeth or something where
Focusing on the suitors. And,
yes, sinister things going on in the background. You know, like because Robert Pattinson in this movie basically plays Gaston.
Right, big asshole,
cocky asshole.
He plays a good asshole, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because you're so used to him being, I mean, you know, he was Edward, he was a heartthrob, and then he's, you know, then he's Batman. And I do want to say, when he first came out and we saw him in Twilight, I didn't have big expectations. I was like, where's he going to take this?
Yeah, right.
You know, and I will say his range is great. Like, I really like him. He's likable.
It's interesting, though. I can hear in your voice the thing that I always think about with Robert Pattinson, which is he reminds me of Eric Roberts in the 80s, where we would put him in these very crazy roles. I don't know if you ever saw Star 80 or what's the Pope of Greenwich Village? Is that the name of that movie? Anyway, he would play these like kind of cocky characters and they were memorable, and he was good at playing them, and yet there's not really a star power there. I don't know. It's like he's not the most memorable thing in any of these movies, even in like the drama, which I thought had like good performances and stuff. I'm not thinking about him afterwards.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you know? I think, like, first of all, I think people like working with him.
Yeah.
And I do think he's talented. Would I ever be like, this is award-winning? No.
No, yeah.
No, I haven't got that from him yet, but I do think he's fun to watch. Like, I do think, like, playing in a movie like this, playing someone that kind of gets the comedic layer is difficult. And I think that's hard to do. And he was funny. Like, there were moments where it was like, you know, when he's like, grab the shield.
Yeah.
Like that, I was dying. I was like.
No, and there aren't many moments of comedy here.
Right.
And the movie needs those, I think.
Yes.
You know what
and
I
those
mean?
Little moments of just like small lightness he did provide. And then shout out to the two Walking Dead actors.
Oh, yeah.
That made it into the film. Samantha Morton.
Oh, I mean, Samantha Morton is just an incredible actor.
Oh, my gosh. I said, oh, this Alpha.
Right.
I said, oh, they got Alpha up there. She about to kill it. As soon as I saw her hit the screen, because I actually did not know she was in the film. And I said, oh, this is about to go down, because I am a huge Walking Dead fan.
Oh, okay,
did not
know
this. And I
love Danai Gurira, of course.
Yes, of course. And so but I think, you know, I've been seeing everyone post these memes of back to your disguises. And I think that is my new phrase for the year, back to your disguises. I think that was just such a phenomenal scene. I thought that was incredible.
Well, also, so, I mean, the Odyssey is basically broken up into vignettes, right?
Right.
Like, we have all these little, like, adventures that he gets into. Yes, I will say, I don't know that any of the vignettes really totally popped off for me.
Really?
You know, it's like, I felt like the movie, in terms of how many stories it's telling, like, felt a little bit less than the sum of its parts until the end. Mm. The final moment where he strings the bow,
that was fabulous.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it was just, like, too much popping? Like, you couldn't get it? By the time you got invested, the scene was over.
Right. No, the Cyclops like thrashes around like he's like G-ing out. That's a gay term. Look it up. And then, you know, we're done.
Yeah.
But I love the practical effects. I was shocked that it wasn't CGI.
Yeah, it was a puppet. It was a huge puppet.
No, but that when Project Hail Mary, Rocky in that movie, it's like a huge year for puppets.
Yeah.
Like Jim Henson's like, you bitches.
Right.
I had this going on 30 years ago.
You know, I think they said that they tried to use this little like CGI and, you know, all of that as possible. So they were, I even heard the whirlpool was a bunch of jet skis going around and round and round and creating this thing in the ocean. So I think like they did everything they could to just really stick to the landing on this. And I really enjoyed it. I thought I will definitely go see it again. Maybe I'll do the IMAX because everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
You know what I've been enjoying after seeing it is like everyone talking about it, which is really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many movies where we all see it and we're like, oh, I liked it, I hated it. And there's not a huge conversation. I feel like there's been so many layers of conversations that have happened with this, specifically like the storytelling that I will listen to Matt Damon read from the phone book.
Oh,
have you been watching?
Also, by the way,
I
really did love him in this movie. He was great.
He was so good. And I think like I recently saw the Netflix movie that he did with Ben Affleck. And I forget that, like, because he can play these, like, kind of, he can play a cop, he can play, you know, Jason Bourne. And I think I might have put him in a category that he didn't deserve, because initially when he started out, they came out the gate, obviously, and did so well that I think I forgot about his acting chops a little, because he got involved in some action. He's been kind of, like, laid back. And I, you know, even in The Departed, like, his character to me wasn't the one that we were all talking about.
Right.
So I feel like he really just showed up and said, I think he said this is the hardest film he's ever done.
Yeah.
And you can see how much he put into this.
Because he's such a franchise person, it's easy to forget that he is an Oscar-nominated actor.
Right,
like, we have The Martian and Invictus. The Talented Mr. Ripley is one of my favorite movies. And his performance in it and the strangeness he gives that character is very crucial. You're right. We don't give him many sort of, like, hard character roles. Like, because Matt Damon himself is sort of an entity unto itself. You know, he's one of these, like, Clint Eastwood type people where we're like, well, we just want that. But in this movie, no, you, like, follow his journey and the sort and the weariness of the character.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, even, like, when they went past the sirens and, you know, the way that he, the pain that he was in and how he did, he was just, I just thought he was incredible. And I thought to myself, how did I, you know, because he's in these franchises, sometimes when you're thinking about an actor, you do go back to, like, oh, The Bourne Identity. You think about these things and you forget. And I feel like, I'm sorry I wasn't familiar with your game, even though I was.
Yeah,
I had
right.
a little amnesia. And he said, you gonna remember me, bitch. And
right.
I appreciate it. And the funny thing about him is he's such a good storyteller. These interviews he's doing, he's so, I just love when these actors are so incredible and they don't take themselves too seriously. You see him at the premiere of The Odyssey and he's like a little happy dad and he's got his phone out and he's taking pictures of Zendaya and Tom and he's just walking around with his camera like it's his first premiere.
Oh yeah.
And I think there's something to be said about the, like, the childlike joyfulness that he has when he's, you feel like he's actually experiencing and living in each moment.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I, sometimes when I'm watching actors do these junkets, they seem asleep at the wheel.
And by the way, I totally respect
and
that
I
because
get it.
By the way, these people are getting asked the same questions
sure,
again and again by
course.
Journalists who have barely done the homework.
Of course. Well, let's not shade the journalists though, because people, there are people who come in with great questions.
Oh, no, no. Oh, I'm not shading you and I.
Yeah.
I know some of these people though.
Yes.
I'm not talking about like Cameron Sheets who does the homework.
Right.
I'm talking about some of these people.
Like, you know,
the locals. Which, that is exactly.
And I get it. Like, everybody has an assignment, right? And
yeah.
some people want to go in and talk about the film. Some people want to crack jokes. Some people want to play a game. Like, you kind of get a little bit of everything. So it can be exhausting on the actor's part. And you kind of can see it on camera. I will say for this entire cast, it's been a joy to watch them do all of these interviews from the smallest station to GQ. And they're engaged. They're happy. And it lets me know that this is their energy on set was the same way, because they all seem to genuinely like each other. The stories that they're telling, it's fascinating. It's almost as fascinating as watching the movie, hearing about how it was made.
Matt Damon told one fun anecdote about his daughter and how, I guess they have a really close relationship and talk about his movies a lot. And she goes, oh yeah, that movie you did, The Wall. He goes, it was called The Great Wall. And she goes, nothing about that movie was great.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, if I had a dad in that many movies, I would be absolutely frank about what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah.
But I do want to back up and say that I think Anne Hathaway was the best performance in this movie, and it needed a real performance.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, she's sort of just waiting around for him to come back. And I thought she made the indecision in that part and the just the loneliness and the, you know, how her just how decision making varies, how she like considers different things. So interesting.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I have several friends who thought that she was overacting throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
And I just totally disagree. I thought she was the one, like, if she got a lead actress nomination for this movie, I'd be thrilled for it. And by the way, she hasn't been nominated for a damn fucking thing since Les Miserables, which is so crazy for somebody who's that prestigious and talented.
Yeah. I'm on the fence about Anne, and sometimes I like her, sometimes I don't. But I did think that she was great in this. I don't know if I would say the best performance in the film, but, you know, I feel like that does have to go to Matt Damon, because I just feel like but I think also I'm thinking about the physicality with what everything that he had to do as well, because I'm thinking to myself, can I host while I'm hiking up a hill and fighting people? Can I still do it, or am I going to be bad at it? So I think I'd take into the fact that, like, he had to put his whole, like, body and foot into this too. So how did you feel about Tom, though?
Well, I thought he was, like, winsome and had a lot of charisma. I don't know that it's, like, the hardest acting role of all time.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, at one point, he wears, like, black armor.
Yeah.
Like, it's like jet black. It looks almost like matte black.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, like, a G-Wagon. And I have to tell you, I would wear that out.
Oh,
it looked amazing.
You were taking notes for fashion.
Yeah. I also think there's something about him. Like, he has that kind of boyish quality, but, like, the more he's on screen, he kind of gains in sort of power and strength. And, like, has a sexiness I didn't previously assign to him.
You know, it's not like a film that builds to make him a warrior, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not what this role is. So I you know, I have to imagine, like, you know, I think I've seen a lot of criticism that he hasn't been pushed enough yet, that they haven't seen him act get a role that showcases his acting. And I do feel like people want that from him.
Yeah.
But I felt like he, this he had a great ensemble cast to work with to kind of push him in that direction.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I don't really demand prestige of everybody. Right. You know what I mean? Just like, I would compare him in a way to, this is, he's a great actor and actually has done plenty more prestige since then, but Michael J. Fox, which is to say, like, the whole point is, oh, I know that guy.
Right.
He gets on screen, I'm right. like, that's our friend or whatever.
And everybody loves him.
You know?
You know, I don't think there's a way that you can't, honestly. Yeah. But Zendaya, how'd you feel about...
Okay, I thought she showed up to this movie like it was jury duty. She's wearing a pretty slanket.
Yes.
She's looking over and she's, you know, she's like a ghost, basically. Yeah, yeah. So she's sitting there and then she's gone. And she has one emotional moment at the end of the movie that she does nail.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, like, to me, this part was too fucking boring for her. I mean, like, can't we get Lily James on the phone?
Well, and it sounds like if you've seen some of the interviews, did you hear that that Tom basically got the script? She admits that she snuck and read the script.
Mm.
And then he went for his meeting with Christopher Nolan. And he said at the meeting, Christopher was basically like, you know, I don't mean to. You came in here for yourself, but how you feel about Zendaya getting on this thing? And he went to break the news and she flipped out. And so it sounds like, you know, he was just kind of like, hey, come on in. It wasn't like, you know, I wasn't surprised by it like I was with Travis Scott, where I was like, what is Travis?
That was a pretty surprising thing for me to read.
I get why Christopher said, you know, that he feels like rappers are, you know, the storytellers that people, you know, like the new poets.
Uh-huh.
But Travis, we couldn't have got Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Why Travis?
Speaking of which, by the way, of poetry, I do think, like, the pull of the Odyssey, like, reading the Odyssey is the verse of it, mm-hmm. right? So when you get rid of that and it becomes plain spoken, I think that's what almost makes this movie at most a B for me.
A lot of people couldn't get past it.
No, like, just, like, the dialogue in this movie is kind of neither here nor there. Like, you don't get many moments of
that's
wit,
true.
Many moments of, like, interesting wordplay, and I think that would have really elevated it for me. Again, just, I don't really care about Splendor that much.
Mm.
Like, you know, like, what do I want out of a movie? Like, can I watch a 45-year-old woman start her life anew?
Right.
I would love that.
Yes, exactly.
And have a moment where she drinks and dances. That would be nice.
That would have been nice. Yeah, you know. I agree. Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Oh, here's my question. Do you think there's enough in this performance for Samantha Morton to get an Oscar nomination?
It better be.
Yeah.
She's got... I mean...
She plays Cersei, by the way, if we didn't say so.
Yes. Yeah. I hope so. I just think she was so phenomenal.
Yeah.
And
the movie hope like just like stops when she appears. Yeah, it's like, who's this?
Everyone got quiet. And I in this climate... Man, I wish I could just do that to these men on the dating apps. I was like, I wish I could just come and give somebody some stew and turn them into who they really are. Let's get this over with.
Oh, by the way, speaking of puppetry, she's like reaching into these men's mouths and then pulling them out as pigs.
Yes.
It's like she's going to turn to the camera and be like, you didn't think Dr. Doolittle could be a woman.
I think it might have been... And aside from when they went to Hades, I think it was like my favorite.
That's definitely the best vignette, I think.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think is not good about it is in one conversation with Matt, she's like, okay, I'll turn him back.
And
they're men again.
And give you tips on how to live and you know, survive through things, you know. And honestly, I think it was because, you know, the honesty of it all, because she was so used to men being dishonest. And then she was like, all right, fine, I'll put my guard down. Again, it's like me on Hinge.
She's copying your game. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
She saw what you were doing.
Yeah, I do. Now I am like thinking, I'm like, oh, now I'm kind of in this mode. What else do I want to watch? So now I'm thinking of doing my own little binging of, you know, Christopher Nolan films. Like, now I'm on a Christopher Nolan kick.
Oh, he did Insomnia, right? With, like, Robin Williams and Al Pacino and Hilary Swank. Wow.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Anyway, crazy.
So I'm like...
Robin Williams in the 2000s. What have
I know.
Strange.
Don't make me
He's cry. Just trying everything.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it at the wall.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do think the last performance I really remember in a Christopher Nolan movie that Cillian Murphy was great in Oppenheimer, but Anne Hathaway in The Dark Knight Rises, she really like sold that thing.
You think? I hated her in that.
What?
Yeah, I did not
Let
love
me
her
leave
in
across
that.
This table. No.
I did not.
No. Why? Oh, really? I thought she was like such an interesting Catwoman.
Sure.
I mean, look, I'm Michelle Pfeiffer core down, but I liked her take on it, which was like, I have a slinkiness, but also like,
I just
self-possession.
She just never the role, that role of trying to buy her as an everyday woman.
Oh, okay.
I was like, first of all, I don't think Anne could bust a grape in a fruit fight.
Okay.
In a food fight. Yeah. So it just seeing her like fighting was off for me. And then also just like, I just don't buy her as like a badass.
Okay. Oh, all right. All right.
I was like, girl, please. Like, I could get you out of line at the supermarket quick. Like, she just doesn't, that just didn't, that doesn't, I, you know, and serving the people, like, I just don't buy that. So it was hard for me to, I just couldn't.
And she's like a cat burglar too. Just everything I love.
The cat burglar part, I could, like, kind of, you know, the acrobatics of it all, but the fighting and the, like, you know, it just, I just, I was like, I'm gonna like this in spite of it.
Right. What did you think of Charlize in this movie?
What did you think? I thought she was mid.
Well, here's the thing. I thought by the end when she has the moment with him when he finally departs, she got to an emotional moment. But I'm sorry, Charlize was kind of up against the odds in this movie because, first of all, they put her in like a matte lip on like this like the island that looks like it's built only for Sports Illustrated cover shoots.
Right, and in this little cage dress that it looked like they got from H&M. I was like, what is going on? Is she going to the club after this?
No, right.
What's happening?
It honestly looked a little bit like a different movie.
It did. And it was, I think it was jarring to go to those flashbacks after like a crazy scene and you're kind of like trying to reconnect with it. And it was just odd. I don't know. It wasn't her fault, but it didn't do anything for me.
And also there are plenty of things in this movie that like, just because we've heard of them in the Odyssey, they're included here, but I almost wonder if he should have pared it down a little bit more. I mean, like, I guess it helps make it more epic, but just like him living with Calypso for that long, I don't know, that didn't like resonate with me as hard as it does in the history of the book.
Right, you know? I agree. And I was almost like, I wanted to speed up those scenes, to be honest with you. I was kind of like, can we go? And maybe it was just seeing Matt Damon as Odysseus in that, you know, trying to remember, you were just kind of like, hurry up, remember. Maybe that's what it was. But I just was kind of, those scenes, I was like, y'all could have kept this.
Right, because it's just the two of them, too.
Yeah, I would have just rather seen more Zendaya in that moment. But I was like, oh, that's why Charlize was in them little silver shorts. Yeah. She was like, I just was in here for a blip, babes. Because the way Zendaya, and we also have to talk about Lupita Nyong'o as Helen.
Oh, yeah. I noticed she's stunning.
Yes. Yes.
That's a stunning woman.
Yeah. And, you know,
great interviewee. One of our best interviewees.
Yes. And, you know, this press run for her and Zendaya, I mean, that alone was making people want to go see the film.
Oh, yeah. Well, Newsmax gets involved and they're like, wait, what? You're not from Iowa or wherever we need you to be from in order to make the Odyssey?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, everybody brought their A game. And what about John?
Oh, Bernthal?
Yes.
Oh, great. Yes. Surprising performance from him, in my thought.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, really?
Yeah.
I just think he kills everything he's in.
Do you know what I fucking think of him? My foremost John Bernthal thought is in that movie King Richard about the Williams sisters, when he goes, you're going to be the next Michael Jordan. And I just thought that line reading was so crazy.
You didn't like
I felt like I was like looking around. I was like, did he just say the world's craziest thing?
And that's what, again, someone else from The Walking Dead. That's three people.
Yes, right. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Shout out to the casting director for Walking Dead. See, they know Tyler when they see it.
Yeah, right.
But I just, first of all, I'm in love with him.
Okay. Oh, are you?
Oh, my God. There could not be a sexier man, in my opinion. Mm. Ooh, that man is just, I don't know, something about him looks like he drives a garbage truck. You know, like he looks like he's good with his hands.
Yeah. I often think having a crush on somebody is about being able to picture them in a certain context.
Yes.
Like I used to say, like, Glenn Powell for me feels like someone who runs like the zip line at Wisconsin Dells. You know, just he stands like this and
you
runs a ropes course.
I think you're right. Like, there is like a fantasy portion of like imagining them in a scenario.
Right.
And for me, like, I don't know if other women feel like this, but I never imagine, if I have a crush on someone, I never think about sleeping with them. It's always a scenario of like me cooking them dinner or like how we would be out. Like, I never think, like, I think with, you know, a straight man, they're like, I think about what sex would be like with this person. And I'm more like, I wonder, does he tip at dinner?
Yeah. Well, also like a genuine crush. I do think that's about like, being with somebody.
Yes.
Whereas like, if you're having, I mean, I'll speak on behalf of gay men. I often think the best way to get over your like infatuation type crushes is sleep with them one time.
Or meet them.
The spell is broken, bitch.
Yes. Or just meet them.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
A lot of times you're like, oh gosh, I think that's been true 9 times out of 10, not only for crushes, but just like people that I love in the industry where I'm like, damn it, I should have just kept it. I think the mystery
we entertain ourselves.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why we have these parasocial relationships. Once you meet the person, it's over.
Yeah. No, Joan Didion was off by one letter. We don't tell ourselves stories in order to live. We tell ourselves stories in order to lie.
That's
okay.
Listen.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. All right. We've got a lot more coming up. But before we go to break, Angelinos and Beyond, join host. Let me make sure I'm getting the spelling. John Lovett at Interwoven Studio Stage as he breaks down the biggest and dumbest stories in politics and welcomes a rotating lineup of the brightest stars in show business and politics for games, trivia, and the kinds of conversations you won't hear anywhere else. Head to crooked.com/events to check out the lineup and grab tickets to Love It or Leave It. They're always adding guests. We'll be right back.
Keep It is brought to you by Quince. One thing I love about summer is how easy everything feels. The days are a little bit more relaxed and I find myself reaching for the same comfortable go-anywhere pieces again and again. And that's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on well-made essentials that naturally become those everyday staples you actually live in all season long.
Quince's 100% European linen pants and shirts are breathable, easy to throw on in the summer, upgrade your rotation needs, starting at just $34. Their tees are so soft to live in all day, and the lightweight cotton sweaters are exactly what you want when summer nights cool down, especially here in Los Angeles. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. I am constantly wearing Quince tees during the summer. The same vibe you want from sheets at night, that kind of light feel, ooh, like a ghost is just touching you a little bit. That's how these tees feel. And I'm sure that's what
that
they're going
just sold
for.
Me.
Yeah.
It's not just the clothing, though. They really have become a trusted favorite for everything from home to travel to everyday essentials. They got bags on there too, honey.
Ooh.
Yes. Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/keepit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/keepit for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/keepit.
This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace gives you everything you need to offer services and get paid all in one place. From consultations to events and experiences, showcase your offerings with a customizable website designed to attract clients and grow your business. Get paid on time with professional on-brand invoices and online payments. Plus, streamline your workflow with built-in appointment scheduling and email marketing tools.
Yeah, get discovered fast with integrated Squarespace SEO tools. Every website is optimized to be indexed with meta descriptions, an auto-generated sitemap, and more, so you show up often on search engines and bring in more of your ideal customers.
Every dream needs a domain. Squarespace Domains makes it easy to find the best name for your business at one fair, all-inclusive price. No hidden fees or add-ons required. Every Squarespace domain comes with advanced privacy and security tools included to ensure your domain remains online and protected. Plus, Squarespace provides everything you need to bring more of your dream to life, whether that means building a website or adding a professional email service. Don't wait to claim your name. Invest in your dream domain today.
Squarespace makes it easy to showcase your expertise and engage with clients with video content on your website. Upload and organize your videos, create stunning video libraries, and even monetize your content by adding a paywall, perfect for online courses, exclusive tutorials, and premium workshops.
Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/keepit to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/keepit.
And we're back. We're not done talking about The Odyssey just yet. A big component to the huge box office movies, obviously, is around the discourse surrounding the film. We know the conservatives are talking about the costume design now, the casting. Y'all Google it if you want to be depressed.
yeah. Get ready to not learn.
Exactly. Yeah. If you want to see more foolishness, I mean, you don't even have to open your phone to see that. Anyway, there's one thing that we have to count on when we're talking about movies, because when everybody shows up, there's a lot of shenanigans. And I would love to play a game called What Would You Do? And
okay.
I'm really excited to hear your opinion, but I want y'all to play along with us. And then I won't tell them to tweet you, but they can hit me up on Threads.
Okay. About if they have any questions for you, they can ask me.
Yes, exactly. So over the weekend, and this is a user on Threads called mx.nikki, they posted a Threads about a shitty encounter they had during The Odyssey. And Lewis, I want to know, what would you do? So this is what they posted. Y'all listen to this. Listen to this. And I'm reading from their point of view. Came in to watch The Odyssey in 7mm IMAX and had a jerk in the seat I paid for to sit next to my disabled partner, who's in a wheelchair. He refused to acknowledge us, and we didn't want to cause a scene since the movie was starting. Ended up sitting on the ground for 3 hours to watch it. It was worth it, but my body hates me for it. Cry face. Thankful for Regal Theaters for giving us free tickets to see it again another time, hopefully without anyone stealing a seat again. Another cry face. I read this and thought, bitch, cause a scene.
Excuse me? By the way, you know that the Odyssey doesn't really start for like 10 minutes into the movie. We have time.
Right, right.
I would have absolutely gone to the front.
Yeah. Would you have said something?
For my disabled partner so I could sit next to them?
Oh, my gosh. So would you have said something to the guy in the seat, or would you have just gone straight
I absolutely would have said something. I love intimidating people, and I love ruining their night if they suck.
Well, obviously, and I love going head-to-head with a bully.
Yeah.
Because what this user says is that they thought it was an honest mistake initially. So they went up to this guy who was in the seat, and he said that he refused to acknowledge them.
Yeah.
So was trying to say, oh, excuse me. And the person wouldn't even look in their direction. So said that 3 times they tried to say, hey, you're in our seat that we paid for. This is assigned seating.
Yeah.
And the person would not even acknowledge their existence.
I would have made sure he acknowledged me. I would have gotten right up in his face.
Yeah.
I would have been like, you know, Cersei, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah.
I know we always say what we would do if we're not in the situation, but I live for shit like this.
Me too.
Baby, if everybody can imagine me rolling up my sleeves, baby, let me get to work. The earrings would have came off. And this is the thing. I saw the user in the comments defending not doing anything, saying that they didn't want to cause a disruption. They didn't want to be, you know, a burden on everyone else in the theater, because that would have given this guy what he wanted.
Yeah.
Let me say this. You're not the one causing the scene, though.
Right.
He is.
Right. And he's putting you in the position to be rude. This is a classic social thing that infuriates me.
1,000%. And this is what I'm always going to say. I am never going to be Michelle Obama in these situations. I'm never going to go high.
Right.
I'm always going to go low. And that's why this shit don't happen to me. Because the universe knows. I would have rang his bell.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing. Like, the person always also said that they had a disabled partner. They are trans. They felt like this was a situation that would have been unsafe for the both of them. And they just didn't want to get involved. And I completely understand that. At the same time, there has to be a line for when we stick up for ourselves.
Yeah.
And even if you don't want to create the scene, there are people working at this place that are there to protect your experience.
Yeah.
And you've got to utilize that. Sitting on the floor for 3 hours in this economy, it's crazy.
Well, also, let me be clear. The Odyssey, like, tickets are sold out, like, months over or whatever.
Right.
So it's like, it's no accident where people are sitting, et cetera. So this person probably doesn't have a ticket at all.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or snuck in, you know, from somewhere else, which is why they pulled that shit. But, you know, the problem is people who behave like that get away with it because people don't want to cause a scene, because you're the bigger person. And yeah, I think this is an opportunity to stop, for a call to everyone to stop being a bigger person.
Oh,
It's overrated.
Oh, absolutely.
It's overrated.
Also, by the way, the idea that you'd be afraid of causing a scene in a movie theater, and by the way, I understand.
Sure.
And again, it's like, sometimes you're not in the mood to like start a confrontation. I understand that too. And there are situational things here. But at the same time, there are people there whose job it is to deal with this.
Right.
Specifically, this is what ushers are for.
Right, because you're not just out in a field somewhere, like where it's just, you know, on your own. You're in a place, and also, not for nothing, there are other people there to witness what's happening to you in case it does get dangerous, right? So that you have witnesses, you have people there, the police can be called, which we all hope it never gets to that. But let me tell you something, call the police. Call whoever you want to call, because you're going to need them.
Right.
You're the one who going to need them.
Also, I feel so bad for this person. They don't want to like create a scene in a movie theater where, by the way, still half the people in a movie theater nowadays are doing the most obnoxious shit imaginable.
People are watching TikTok.
Excuse me, I will never forget having to see the motherfucking Super Mario movie, or the recent one, the one that was looked like a video game. I'm sitting next to a woman who is twice my age. This woman is watching TikTok the entire time in front of her face and mine.
I would have lost. Did you say something?
No, you're right. I didn't. So that's a lesson.
See?
I think I would do something.
I think we all think, you know, if there's, because I think
an older woman, though, that's so hard. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, you snatch that shit. She can't chase you. Yeah. No,
that's true. That's
just
true.
Just kidding.
Oh, my God. I would have loved to
this
run.
This is why I believe that God doesn't put these situations, because I go 0 to 100.
Yeah.
And so I really don't experience this kind of stuff. So when I hear about it, and also I'm really quick to act in moments
like this.
That's just
it. I feel like the indecision, like sitting with it, not doing something immediately.
You overthink it, you won't do anything. Right, you have to. And my problem is, my body's moving before I could even move, baby, that phone would have been in my hand.
The jazzercise is going down.
Oh, my God, I pray. Even if I would have witnessed this, I would have turned and been like, baby, why are you on the ground?
Yeah, right.
Baby, why are you on the ground? My whole thing is this, and then we can move on to something happier, but you don't ever need to make yourself uncomfortable to make someone else comfortable. It's later for that.
Yeah.
There's no way on this God's green earth, I paid money, came with my disabled partner, drove up in this motherfucker, and you think I'm going to sit on the ground for 3 hours? If anybody's on the ground, it's you for getting laid out.
Right.
And no way. And I would have left before I experienced. That's humiliating. Don't you ever put yourself in that situation again.
And also, it's like, you know, it's like on their partner's mind the entire time, too. Just like the vibe is like squashed.
The vibe is messed up.
Let me go and absorb the Odyssey right now. Like, this is a totally fucked up situation.
And you get triggered by that stuff. Every time you see the Odyssey, you're going to think about that experience instead of what you should have been focusing on, the film and having a good time. I would have tore his ass up. And I, you know, I wish she would have posted a picture of this guy. She was, they were kind enough not to. But, you know, it was just hard to see, and I wanted to know what you thought. And you
I also
know,
feel bad that they got the free tickets afterwards. Like, yeah, they went afterwards and said
and
what happened.
And they said that management said to them, we wish you would have said something to
us.
Yeah,
right.
We were equipped to handle situations.
I'm sorry they felt like they couldn't.
Yeah,
that sucks.
I'm sorry that you feel like that, and I get it. You know, and I will say, like, unfortunately, the climate that we're in, everybody feels like people are on edge, and I will say that they don't think that it'll just be an argument. They think it'll turn to violence, and that's unfortunate, too, because not everybody got hands.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
They sure don't.
You know?
Right, yeah.
Unfortunately, I was born with them, so yeah, call me next time, boo.
This is a fisticuffs forward podcast. Yeah.
Listen, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Now, I have, this is a sort of a what would you do. It's more of a what would you think. I asked my followers on Instagram last week to choose the single best movie starring any member of the cast of The Odyssey. Ooh. Now, this is a star-studded cast. This
is
a lot of movies.
This is a lot of movies.
So I feel like this turns into, it's like an Enneagram. It's like a personality test. Like, what you say says a lot about you.
Oh, I see.
Because I'm thinking, when you tell me what your choice is, then I'm thinking about what you didn't pick and why.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
This is almost an impossible ask.
Unless you're me. Go ahead.
Right. No, I need yours.
Yeah.
I want to know yours.
I think my answer is Brokeback Mountain, was starring Anne Hathaway, which I find to be, in a way, like, I know people talk a lot about how it deserved Best Picture over Crash or whatever. I find it historically to be a very underrated movie. Like,
you think so?
The pace of it is so beautiful and so not like anything else that came out at the time. Every performance is great. Every performance. Like, David Harbour in a minor role, Anna Faris in a minor role, Randy Quaid in a minor role.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. There's lots of weird Kate Mara's in that movie.
Yeah. She sure is.
In addition to Jake Gyllenhaal, Heath Ledger, Michelle Williams, etc. That's my number one. And then I already said Talented Mr. Ripley, I think, is my favorite. Two, the last great movie star movie where everybody's just pure glamour. The bronzest that Gwyneth Paltrow has ever been.
Wait, what did your followers say?
Oh, up and down. A lot of people said Mad Max Fury Road, which stars Charlize Theron.
Yeah. As a favorite.
Oh, please. That's like a lot of people's favorite movie of the 2010s.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My friend wrote a book about it. Kyle Buchanan on this podcast. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Just on the movie. Just
making the movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It didn't hit me like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it, but
I honestly didn't even really like it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but I you know, honestly, I didn't think about it after I saw it.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you know what you would say? Do you have any ideas?
God, this is so difficult.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any of these actors, I mean, obviously they've done great work.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of them.
I feel like I could almost pick what you would pick.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm going to do the homework on your behalf. Go ahead.
Well, I would love to know what you think.
Okay, I'm going to go with, I think it might be a Matt Damon movie.
Out of all of the people in this, okay, so there's one that's funny. That's just, it's funny. It's not like my favorite, though.
Ooh.
But I was.
Stuck on You with Matt Damon?
How dare you? It's close, though.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's close. Okay.
We Bought a Zoo?
You're going to judge me.
Well, what else would I do?
You're going to judge me. Okay, well, first of all, it's definitely Matt Damon, for sure, would be the serious movie.
Okay.
But the movie, I really like Twilight. I feel so
ashamed. I used to run a proper podcast.
I feel so ashamed.
And then you said that. First of all, excuse me, earlier in this very podcast, you said, we watched this, we didn't expect much from those guys in that Twilight movie, moving on. Meanwhile, you're like a hard, weird Stan sitting in the shadows.
Can I tell you something? I have this like love for bad movies, like where I like really love them, and I loved how bad it was, so I really loved the whole franchise.
And we're talking about the first one.
Yeah,
just the original Twilight.
Yeah, the one that was kind of,
don't
like
they play soccer in that,
yeah,
or baseball,
like,
or something?
Baseball. It was like an art house movie almost, like it was, you know, that was blue lighting the whole film, like it was horrible, but there was like something about the whole season of Twilight that I just really loved. I went and saw every film in the movies.
Wow. I mean, I worked in a Barnes & Noble in 2008. And I remember if somebody came in looking for something, it was literally 100% of the time Twilight.
I read the books. 100%
of the time. Yeah.
You know, my younger sister got me into it, and I think I kind of did it to bond with her. I don't know how to explain it. There's just some horrible movies that I fall in love with. And this
even,
is one of them.
Even among Robert Pattinson movies. I mean, I would pick like The Lighthouse or something.
No, and I'll rewatch it too. Mm-hmm. I'll rewatch them.
Oh my God.
I'll rewatch it. I was on some fan sites. It was a strange time for me.
No, you stand in your power. Power, I mean whatever this is.
I know. It's very strange. I knew you would judge me, but
I sure would.
But I walked into this fearlessly like I would like I would anything else with my armor on. Because, you know, you got to defend your bad takes, too. And we all have them.
I'm directed by Catherine Hardwicke, who directed one of my favorite movies of all time, 13.
Oh, obsessed with 13.
Obsessed with 13.
And now we're back.
Yes. No.
We're back.
I have a friend, I think I brought this up before, who can recite every line from 13.
Oh, that was literally one of my favorite movies.
If I run into him, I'm like, do the part where like she's like, it sticks in her mouth.
It sticks in her mouth. Oh my gosh. I love 13. So now I'm glad that we're back on the same page again.
Oh, Holly Hunter's so jeans.
I wanted those jeans so bad.
Yeah. That's like the Citizen Kane of low rise jeans movies.
Yeah, it sure was. It sure was. That was a time, baby. And it's stamped forever in my memory. But I will say, if we're being serious, Good Will Hunting.
Oh, perfect answer. Also, I love, love, love Minnie Driver in that movie.
Oh,
she's
my
so
gosh.
Good.
I love Minnie Driver in general.
Yeah.
Just, I still mourn her and Matt Damon not working out.
Oh, I know. There are so many late 90s romances that we don't talk about anymore, like 90s? Gwyneth and Brad and all those people.
Oh, my
people.
Gosh. Yeah, yeah. Like, everybody was hooking up in the 90s, baby.
Right.
It was a time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Good Will Hunting is
That's
probably,
a good answer.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not? But, and again, like, Matt Damon, so incredible in that. So
yeah,
he's going to do it every time.
Oh, I meant to say earlier that Samantha Morton is this actress who has two Oscar nominations that people have totally forgotten about. This Woody Allen movie called Sweet and Low Down, and where she's alongside Sean Penn, and then a movie called In America with Jaimin Hansu and Patty Considine, great actor. She is just an accomplished, awesome actress. Many prestigious, fabulous movies. She was actually the best part of a movie called She Said from a couple years ago, which was about the two female journalists who got to the bottom of the Harvey Weinstein situation.
Wow.
And she has like a confessional moment that's really good in it.
She's an incredible actress that we got to start talking about more.
She also was in The Whale and gave a terrible performance, and I'm still fucking mad at his name, Darren Aronofsky.
Shit. Oh my God.
Sadie Sink was not good at it either. I'm like, were you asleep at the wheel?
Yeah.
I blame the director.
Yeah.
I blame the director.
I feel like it's the notes that change. When it's someone who you genuinely love and you're like, what happened in this film?
Yeah.
It's always that.
Right. And also, did the editors make a weird call?
Like, what is the deal? Why am I getting this weird off-putting performance that you normally... This flows way differently.
Right, like there's no way the actor would make this call.
Right.
You know what I mean? This
is
out of place.
It has to be a choice.
Yeah.
I feel that way if I see a favorite actress of mine looking crazy. I'm like, this is a different stylist. Like, what? This is not normally how they get down.
Oh, yeah,
so, you know, you always blame someone else, not the person.
Yeah, right, right. But also, these people, I mean, I think that's also fair because, like, they do have a bunch of people.
It is true. Yeah. And, you know, and listen, I do think there are people who come in with these ideas, and it's not even a bad idea. It just doesn't work with this person.
Yeah.
And so it just didn't, you know, it just didn't give us the output that we needed. So it's not always someone's fault because it's all of this is collaborative, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it just kind of was like, it just worked out this way.
Right.
All right, well.
But back to Twilight. This is so crazy.
I don't. You
even
know,
Anna Kendrick's like, I was in that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it really gave us talent of a new generation.
That's
you
true.
Know,
that's
it,
true.
No,
also, I love Kristen Stewart as a person. I love her vibe as an actress.
It was escapism.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we need the escapism. You know,
it is pure escapism.
It is. I mean, really, in every way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. In every way. It's really bad.
And also, they were making pale people look good.
And
maybe
like,
that never happens for us.
And the CGI was pretty bad in this.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
When we get to Breaking Dawn and they have Recess and the baby.
Renesmee.
Okay, the baby's name was Renesmee, whatever her name was. I don't care. Renee, whatever the baby. It was silly. The name is stupid. Bella. But, you know, there are a lot of secret. I want everybody to come out the closet because there's a lot of secret. So you see how our producer knew the name?
Yeah, that's true.
Because you watched.
Yeah.
You was locked in, wasn't you?
You're like a detective.
In.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You was your favorite?
I'm obsessed with all the Twilight.
Thank you. Caroline?
I just thought I was among friends, and I...
Look, you feel betrayed because nobody feels safe to tell you.
Yeah. So, you know what?
Think about that.
Work is paid off.
I'm going to let Lewis think about that. We'll be right back. Keep It is brought to you by Nutrafol. Summer calendars fill up fast. Weddings, concerts, sporting events, barbecues. It feels like every weekend definitely has something going on. And when you're seeing the people that you love and making memories, it is nice feeling confident in how you look. And so many people are using Nutrafol as part of their routine.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF certified for sport, and clinically tested. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Nutrafol offers multiple formulas for men and women tailored to different life stages like postpartum or menopause and lifestyle factors such as a plant-based diet, so you get support that's actually right for you. And adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is easy. Order online, no prescription needed, with automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Plus, with the Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% and get added perks like a free Headspace membership to support your hair health journey.
So let your hair become one less thing that is taking up space in your head and see thicker, stronger, and faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code KEEPIT. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code KEEPIT.
Keep It is brought to you by Helix. Nina was just telling me how well-rested I look, and I said, you won't believe why that is possible. And I said, it's because of my Helix mattress that I've now had for, I think, 2 years, and my nights couldn't be better. It's where I belong. When it's time to go to bed, I go to bed.
That's right.
And I'm like, what do I look like? I look like the little prince. I'm like bent over. My legs look like a ballerina's. I'm comfortable. I'm myself. That's really
You're
about
rested.
It.
You're rested.
Thank you.
You're rested. You make me want one. I think I'm going to have to get on one.
Oh, no. They will find you. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. Rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. Helix is the most awarded mattress brand, tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired. Go to helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for Keep It listeners. That's helixsleep.com/keepit. For 27% off site-wide, exclusive for Keep It listeners. helixsleep.com/keepit.
So I think it's time for us to dip our toes into a little nerd culture. Mm. So there is some shit going on in this corner of the world that I think we should... Let's address.
Okay.
I'm coming in a little reluctantly about this because Andy's getting on my nerves. Are we going to talk about Andy Serkis? Mm-hmm. So he played Gollum during the Lord of the Rings franchise, and he's reprising his role, and he's going to actually direct the latest installment of the franchise called The Hunt of Gollum. So the upcoming film features an entirely white cast. So it's packed. Elijah Wood's coming back, Ian McKellen, everybody's coming back. And also they're adding new actors. In an interview with BBC, Serkis defended the choice and in fact doubled down. So apparently most of the casting announcements are yet to come, but it isn't looking promising. And I'm going to read the quote.
Sure.
Tolkien himself was influenced by a lot of Norse mythology. There's a lot of that feeling. The Shire feels very, very much like a very, very white, He trails off, doesn't finish that statement, probably for good reason. And he says they're not very concerned about what goes beyond the borders of the Shire, but they know they don't want people coming in. So yes, there have been criticisms. This particular film is somewhat acknowledging that, but I don't think we will be doing a politically correct, just casting for the sake of casting and ticking boxes version of the film. So it's where relevant, basically.
I hate hearing the words politically correct in this context.
Right.
It just feels like I'm listening to a Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to defend yourself, just be like, well, look, I mean, like, the way it's written in the book, they all do seem bright fucking white. That's why we have Anya Taylor-Joy here, you know?
Yeah. It's to me, when you say the ticking of boxes.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
No, it's like it's like saying we would only ever watch black right. actors just to like it's impress somebody in the distance.
It's such a thing that lets us know where he's at.
Yeah. You know, it's fucking rude.
It's not rude. It's racist. Yeah. You know, because it's like, oh, you would only think of someone of color in any of these roles, which, by the way, these motherfuckers are fairies and demons.
Yeah,
and
right.
We only think about white people, which actually is not true. In the Shire, they talk about like they're being different, you know, all kinds of races involved in the Shire.
Yeah.
And even in the first film, I think that there were different races and sizes and all kinds of shapes. These are mythical creatures, by the way. So it lets me know in your fantasy world, your fantasy is if for not to be black people there.
Right. Well, also, by the way, I just think there are so many types of movie where the reason they exist the way they are in like pure, you know, like I'll say World War II movies or lots of gangster movies, etc. Well, the reason you're interested in them is because they're full of white men.
Right.
As in, you're disinterested if we add other characters.
1,000%.
So stop pretending that this is some incidental part of why you're making the movie when it's the entire reason you're making the movie.
But nobody questions, you know, it's always like whenever there is a black actor in something, the assumption is always that it's a ticking of a box situation.
Yeah, right.
And that's so offensive. And, you know, it's from a world where people are like, we just want talent to win. There are so many talented actors who are not only black, but just actors of color who aren't getting opportunities. And then, you know, it is a turnoff for me as someone who, by the way, supported and watched the whole Lord of the Rings franchise.
You and I do not have that in common, by the way.
Yeah, well, at the movies, baby.
Yeah.
And I own the box set. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I was involved and invested. And I don't know if I want to see this now, because I think in the climate that I'm in, I don't know if it would have bothered me if it was all white and he didn't say this.
But no, the statement is what I am reacting
to. The statement,
to.
Exactly.
I think it sucks.
It's
yeah.
not, it's, do I watch things and think, damn, there's nobody who looks like me? Sure. But that's been my whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, I, it's not unusual for black people to watch all white shows. We do.
Yeah. Right.
Know as a you know, I always wonder, are there white people who watch all black ensembles? Because I know we have to, because there wouldn't be anything for us to watch, because there's not a ton of all black ensemble casts in every type of genre. Like you kind of have to watch everything.
I would say it's more likely that you'll meet like a black moviegoer who knows like the A-list, B-list, and C-list of white actors.
1,000%.
Whereas white moviegoers wouldn't know the right. B and C-listers
and
of
I,
black actors.
And I compare
actors.
That to like when I was hosting, right? When I was doing like E! News, I had to know everybody. I had yeah. to know the black actors, because they would come to me and ask me, well, is this black actor big enough to talk about? Like there wasn't like a comparison for them, because some people only found out about Taraji P. Henson from Empire.
Yeah, right.
Meanwhile, I was like, I've been watching Taraji since Baby Boy.
Right, right.
You know, mm-hmm, and so that experience mm-hmm. for me, I'm like, oh, you didn't know her until Benjamin Buttons or that, where for me, this had been someone who had been in my household for over a decade.
Right.
So there are times when I feel like, okay, there are two Americas. I acknowledge that, but this is rubbing it in my face, because
yes,
now yeah. you're acknowledging that there's two Americas and you don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that to me turns me off from the entire franchise, because it's one thing for it to work out this way and you got it all white. But and also I think Hollywood is kind of turning in that direction, and we can acknowledge the fact that not only acting projects, but every type of project, a lot of them are leaning towards a lot of all white casts.
Yeah.
And it's as a person who's watching and you want to see yourself reflected, you don't see that, it can be incredibly frustrating. But when it's like double down and the knife is turned in your back, it kind of turns you off from wanting to support anything.
Yeah. No, I think all the time about like what we put in the pantheon of great movies. Like, you know, once upon a time, like the AFI would put out like this 100 greatest movies list.
Sure.
And the amount of movies that are just all men. And, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, whatever, The Godfather's not, has at least Diane Keaton and Talia Shire in it. But, like, all those movies like that, like, for Gone with the Wind to be in the top 10 and be about a woman is rare. That movie has lots of other problems, obviously. But I don't think people are upfront with themselves about who these movies actually are for and
right.
why they actually like them.
Right.
And why they're eligible to be called genius, because I think a lot of male moviegoers, namely white male moviegoers, just want to see white men.
1,000%.
That is why they like them. I'm sorry. If The Godfather had half a female cast, if there was like, hey, if it was half black people, they wouldn't care.
No.
It would be a totally different movie to them. And you'd be like, well, it's not about the same thing anymore. It's like, but your interest level has flagged.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And there's always, if you think about it too, even if there is a black ensemble, especially like in the early 2000s, they always would have to add like a white character just to make it like.
Oh, that's a whole genre of Julie Bowen and Jumping the Broom.
We have to make this safe for, you know, our audiences. Even as someone who would like pitch projects, like unscripted projects, I would have networks say, well, is this going to have worldwide appeal if like the cast is black?
And they mean white appeal.
Right. But I'm like, who you think is moving this culture?
Yeah.
You know, so it's so odd to me that it's even the conversation, but it's happening from the top all the way to the bottom. And so it's when I'm thinking about someone who just loves movies and TV, and then someone makes Andy makes these kind of comments. It's just, I'm like, my attention is valuable. And I don't have to fucking turn my attention to anything that you're doing if this is how you're doubling down on it. And you hope that people support that. You know, I would hope that as a collective, people would say, hey, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
But it's not to most people. It's not a deal breaker to most people to say, well, yeah, he wants this to be all white and that sucks, but I'm still going to go support it. And as someone who is offended by what he says, it's hurtful to have like friends be like, well, I'm still going to support it anyway, even though I know this person doesn't really respect you or your culture, you know? So that's a part that's hard to resonate, because then it's no longer this fantasy conversation. Everything becomes like real life for you when you see these choices. It's like watching your friends talk shit in comments about something that, you know, like if somebody's fat shaming or whatever, and you're like, damn, bitch, you got plus size friends. Did you ever think about that? Like,
right.
You find out how people really feel about you sometimes in these like innocuous conversations.
Yeah.
And for me, if it's me spending my dollars, I'm not choosing to support people that operate like that.
And also, by the way, watching this movie, it won't be off your mind. You know what I mean? Like, there's no version of enjoying it. And I would also say, by the way, that, well, at least this is The Lord of the Rings. It'll be rebooted till the end of time. So maybe we'll get some other director who has some like rad point of view that we can subscribe to.
Which, by the way, the TV show that's on Amazon Prime is opposite. Like, it's casted. There's a lot of women. There's men. There's all different types of races that are casted. And it's not even a talking point. Like, it's just existing.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, there are plenty of things that I watch that are all white. I mean, you know, we're talking about White Lotus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's the whole point of White Lotus.
Right.
Right?
Blast, as it were.
I don't even want black people in this mess, to be honest with you. This ain't our business.
Yeah, no. Like, I feel bad for Natasha in there.
Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. So it's not that I'm against that. I'm like, sometimes it is what it is. But I think like when people double down and say, hey, we're making a point to drive it this way, then that's a whole, you know, different conversation. If casting happens when it makes sense, but sometimes it's almost like a forced agenda. And that's where I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like,
yeah.
It just feels icky.
This, by the way, is where gay men should be taking over, because as I've said before, I believe casting is the gay superpower. Like, we're always like, you'll never meet a gay guy who doesn't like immediately think like, oh, Samantha Morton, I saw her in The Odyssey, she should do this next.
Right.
Like, I can't explain it. It's what we're primed to
but
do.
But it's like a very laser focused, like, I know where you can go next. And it's a talent.
It's seeing someone's potential. You know what I mean? So I am hoping the best of the LGBTQ community jumps in here and makes it happen. Because I mean, just like, it's like the indignity of this comment. Like, you don't know how nasty this is.
Right.
And we're having to pretend it's like some good point.
And I also just hate, I've been seeing this like where people are like, well, woke culture, which by the way has been like, the word woke has been bastardized because that's not what it was intended to be. But, you know, social media makes everybody think that they know what the fuck they're talking about because they saw a word being used and you're not even using it in the proper context. So it's been bastardized. And so people are like, well, now in this woke culture, and I'm like, you know, we've always had a diverse culture. Do you know that?
Like, right. What are you actually saying? Now that black people are speaking and I can hear them.
Right. I mean, the only difference now is that because of this digital era, people have voices to tell you the shit that we've always... I had these thoughts in the 80s.
Yeah,
it's not woke culture. It's just now that people are being able to be heard because you can't stifle the voices of people anymore, because we used to only be able to see things in movies or on the news. You know, there was no voice for the culture. There was one person who would be a talking point for everybody else, right?
Right.
Now everybody got a mic. So you hear all these opinions and it becomes like, well, now all of a sudden people want this. And it's like, we've always wanted this.
Right.
This isn't a new thing. People wanting diversity is not a new thing for the last 10 years. It's been lifelong.
Do you know what also, like, woke is obviously a bastardized word, as you just said. Do you know a word I also find to be almost always gendered or racially aimed is annoying? When people are like, they're being so annoying. It's like, what's actually happening is you're being forced to listen to somebody you would otherwise dismiss or hope didn't exist.
1,000%.
That is just not something that even, like, people say about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, people don't even call him annoying, really. And by the way, he's obviously a buffoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's or just, it's literally something that's leveled as leveled at women.
Yes.
You know, like, annoying is almost only a word leveled at among comedians, female comics.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just there are so many, like, word choices
that's
in
so
here
true.
That indicate what you really think.
There's
that you
a couple
that you're giving away.
Trigger me, which is well read or well spoken.
Oh yeah, classy or whatever that shit.
Sassy.
Yeah. Oh, sassy's tough.
Sassy
yeah.
is really used for only Black and Latina women.
Yeah, right.
And aggressive. Like, if you're hyper, or if you're, you know, if you're serious, or it's the word aggressive is, you know, where you could be calm and somebody will be like, you're being so aggressive. So those,
right.
I agree with you. There are always those words. It's different for me, but you hear them and you're just kind of like, what? Excuse me? Like, what? Or, you know, people, this is different. But when people are like, calm down, you know, when they tell you that, and
oh,
it's,
yeah.
you know, I know like a lot of people get that when you're actually calm is usually when people say it.
Yeah. Also, it's like aggression is just a quality when it comes to men that we immediately accept
sure.
and love. And we
sure.
would never be like, you're being aggressive.
Yeah. You know? I wear it with a badge of honor. I hope people feel like I'm aggressive. I hope, because I want you to know, don't play with me.
Yeah, sure.
And I think like we are used to specifically like women bending to the will of everybody else. You know, when you are 10 tones down and you're a man, it's never an issue. You know what I mean? When you're 10 tones down and a woman, you always going to be a bitch and aggressive. And I think for a really long time, I know I tried to buffer that, like, especially in the industry, because people will say like, well, they, you know, they don't take no shit. They're a bitch. And for women, that would be like a horrible for your reputation.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, call me whatever, but just pay me on time.
Do you know what lady insult I wish more people would level at me? And I don't think this applies to you, but I want it. I would love to be called a pill more often. God, she's such a pill.
I mean, it's...
You know, the woman who's like the secretary or the administrative assistant who's like, I need that on my desk by six. What a pill.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's it.
And I think, like, ultimately, I remember when I was younger trying to hear these types of conversations, because especially in the newsroom, like the things that Andy said, it's not an unheard of conversation that we don't hear in our lives every day. I'm sure you do. I do. But even like when I was working in newsrooms, I would hear people, like when I would pitch Black actors or hosts or things for stuff, and people would be like, well, does so-and-so know them as well? You know, they would measure, there would be like this measuring scale, and obviously like.
And a skepticism.
And yes, but it would be like, I would be pairing like these reality star white people, like from Vanderpump Rules, and I would be pitching an A-list Black actor, and they would almost be on the same wavelength. Does that make sense?
That's
like
tough.
It would
yeah,
be
yeah.
like, but if there was like a, you could be this reality star on a Bravo show and get the A-list treatment, but you could be a Black person on the most popular reality show and they would say that you weren't big enough.
Yeah.
Like it was, there's always been this scale that's been existing. And my hope had been in the 20 years of my career that it would have shifted some. So when I hear comments like Andy makes, it's depressing, you know, because you're like, oh, there's really the forward progress that I thought we made. Maybe it was just walking in place.
Right. Also, definitely saying the quiet part out loud kind of
right.
moment too.
Right.
Where it's like we're all smart enough to have deduced what you were going to
right.
say here and
right.
yet here it is.
And yeah. listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I always wonder if this is what people are thinking.
So oh, when I'm positive
yeah,
it's what it is.
Right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
when you say it, I'm like, oh, okay, well, shit, that's what it is then. Okay.
Right.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
And then I just got to act accordingly, right? Because it's like, you can't put your energy in all of that. But as someone who really loves to support this franchise, it was disheartening for me because, you know, there are a lot of Black nerds out here I've been seeing on TikTok who have been crushed by these comments, and their feelings are important too. And so it's just been, you know, a disappointing thing to hear, but you know, you keep it moving and you know, you support. I'm always like, go where you love, baby.
Oh yeah. Well, I just want to say as a gay nerd, you're all welcome in the game show community. Where we have had some incredible representation over the years.
Yes.
Actually, that's not true. We had tons of white male hosts for years and years and
right.
years. But, you know.
Yeah.
In the years since, they've gotten better.
We're trying to make these baby steps, child. You're making it hard. But, you know.
Kiki Palmer,
yes,
I mean, winning game show host.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kiki is up in the game. She's up in everything.
No, imagine her. She's already conquered.
We need
it
to
all.
Get her in here. I'm putting that in the universe.
There are certain people who get done with show business too early.
Yeah.
Like, what else can this woman do?
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know. She's. But the thing is, like, Kiki could read the phone book.
Right.
You know, her
yeah.
and Matt Damon. That's pairing I would like
okay.
to see.
Okay. Yes, I would love that myself.
Yes. And I want to see, you know, she's acting. Like, she just did I Love Boosters. She's acting.
Yeah.
But I do want to see her in, you know, more roles, even more than she's doing.
I need her in more drama roles, too.
Agreed. Because I've seen
she's so amusing.
Serious yeah. interviews with her. She's really smart. Like, yeah. she's great with the comedic timing. So I think people take her as silly because she is really funny, but she is a trained actress. Like, she can get it, give it up, and
please.
I want to see her do more.
No, likewise, yeah. likewise. I'm so glad we ended on a Keke Palmer note.
Yes, to just say, we knew we would get here, but
yes,
we're there.
There, all right. We will be right back with more Keep It.
Keep It is brought to you by NPR's It's Been a Minute podcast. Is social media bad for your health? Are we spending too much on other people's weddings? Why is heteropessimism trending? If the culture is asking it, NPR's It's Been a Minute podcast is talking about it. It's Been a Minute stands for your right to be curious, one big question at a time. 4 days a week, host Brittany Luce breaks down the ideas, trends, and conversations shaping the culture. She goes beyond the obvious takes, talking with creators, critics, and cultural voices who help you see things differently. You'll hear dialogues with both up-and-comers and cultural icons.
Host Brittany Luce takes the things everyone's talking about and gives you new ways to think about them. It's not just what's trending, it's why it's trending and what that says about us. It's Been a Minute knows cultural trends don't happen by accident. Brittany and her guests dig into the latest memes to unpack how they got into your feed in the first place and why they're stealing our attention. These are the conversations you want to have and the ones you'll be bringing up later. Honestly, this is the kind of podcast I crave that mm-hmm. keeps me up on what's happening and makes me feel like I'm informed while also not over-informing me because guess what? I want to have the opinion myself.
With podcasts like It's Been a Minute, NPR is here to listen, ask more questions, and take your curiosity a little further. So follow NPR It's Been a Minute podcast and indulge your cultural curiosity.
And we're back, Nina. It's almost time for the sauciest part of the episode, mm-hmm. Keep It. But first, do you see the Avengers Doomsday trailer?
I did. I like everybody else.
Yeah.
I did.
This franchise is fully like Cheesecake Factory menu, just everything is here. Do you want like burger?
Are you? Is this
Thai food, pizza, lettuce cups?
They throw everything in the kitchen sink in the trailer, didn't they?
Yeah. I can't think of another movie in history that has this many motherfucking people.
Yeah.
In it.
I mean, I think the first teaser that they did, I want to say this, it may have been last year or maybe in January, where they showed everybody's director's chair, like the chairs for set, and they didn't have names, but it was like 20 chairs. You know, it was just insane.
Yeah.
The amount of people that are going to be in this film.
I need like an Animaniacs type song about the countries of the world to tell me all yes. of the people in this movie.
Yes. I'm excited though. I mean, I do think they're fun.
I don't.
You
but
don't.
It's just not my thing.
It's not
But
your
it's
thing.
Like, oh, but Rebecca Romijn coming back as Mystique, that I understand. By the way, if people have not seen the movie Femme Fatale, she really nailed it in that one.
Yeah. It's, you know, there are people who are coming back. They're like the new additions who have been added. So it's, I mean, I think like this is, I'm going to actually make you come with me to see this.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes. We're going to get it. We're going to do it. And you know what? We're going to go to the Regal in Sherman Oaks because there's a Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, okay. We'll do the whole experience.
Yes. I'm going to make it as kitschy as possible for
okay.
you.
Okay. I yeah. do have to say the brown bread there still slaps.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think you have to do some of these lowbrow activities.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Please. I'm from the suburbs.
No, we've got to do
honey,
this.
I can bowl. We had a company bowling thing like over Christmas. I bowled a 206.
Oh my God.
Okay.
No, I'm excited for this. I yeah. love it. And then, you know, we'll do something cheesy after, like, go to Cold Stone.
Okay, dang. Oh, please.
So now we've got.
I always
the whole
get strawberry
thing.
With Kit Kats.
But people, yeah, this trailer came out when I was on the plane, I want to say, and so there were so many people going crazy about it. So.
Okay. Okay, let's get back
it's
to the
It's in the neighborhoods like crack.
Right, that's quite. Nina, what is your Keep It this week?
Okay, so since we're talking about me being on this trip, my Keep It is actually about the airport.
Oh, we're talking about Midway or O'Hare?
Oh, I did O'Hare.
Okay.
But it actually, it doesn't matter which airport. I'm talking about the airport in general.
Got it.
Keep It to people acting like they ain't got no damn common sense anymore in the airport.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if people had the sense when they come to the airport, if it's the air, is it the oxygen in the airport that makes you act a damn fool? People were in the TSA line that weren't supposed to be in TSA. Mm. There was a man when I was coming back to LA with his stroller and he's watching the Doomsday trailer and just walking at a small pace in the middle. There's just no situational awareness. My test for a relationship is to see how you act in the airport before I will officially be with you.
Oh, okay. Because you're going to get into the surveillance footage.
Because we're going to walk together in this airport. And if you don't know how to act, you're dumped. You're gone. Friends, too. Everybody else. Because there's something strange that happens in the airport where people will be walking in a walkway and just stand still. You know, it's just, it's like the oxygen in the airport wipes everybody's memory of how to behave as a human being. It's like their first day on Earth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what's going on anymore. But what I want people to do is look up. Your phone is going to be there. And stop wearing flip-flops.
Oof, that is so tough for me.
It was such a rough, I was like.
The gaminess.
That I stepped on the back of a man's heel and he was in flip. I said, well, wear a better shoe.
Yeah, what?
Wear a better shoe, then your heels won't get clipped,
my
boy.
You're not Peppermint Patty.
No, get out of these sandals. Around, it's just, you might as well be barefoot in this thing. It is Hunger Games in the airport these days.
Oh, yeah.
It's Hunger Games. Nobody wants to be there. TSA doesn't want you there. Everybody is annoyed. Let's all make this easier on each other. Act like you got some common sense and get your ass out the way.
Do you know what I'm trying to master? Because I've always been the show up early guy. I'm sorry, nothing is more glamorous than when you get there just in time enough to leave. And then, of course, you don't have to deal with any of this.
Sure.
With people and their, like, choices. Sure. And the way they spread out in, like, the chairs
it's
and stuff.
It's so weird. And if there's a group walking, instead of people kind of walk, like, a couple people in the front and a couple people in the middle, a couple in the back, they take the whole row up. So you're walking behind them. And I'm a frequent traveler. I'm Diamond Medallion, baby.
Yeah.
Like, I know how to get in. I know how to get out. I'm on my business. I get to my destination. I keep my phone in my pocket till I get to where I'm supposed to be. I'm not trying to inconvenience anyone. I feel like we are now in an era, and this is not even just in the airport, that people don't, there's no consideration for the person next to you. This is supposed to flow, baby. This is like merging onto the freeway.
Right.
And everybody's trying to get there at once, and it can't all happen. We all can't be the one, babes. Somebody got to stand in line. You know what I mean? And I just want people to get it together.
Well, again, phones have killed the necessity to care about who is standing next
yes.
to you. As Fran Lebowitz said, if you're looking in your phone, that's where you are.
People,
you're not anywhere else.
That's where you're at. And you're in your own little world. People are on speakerphone. They're watching TikTok. Nobody's using headphones. In a world where every headphone is available.
Right. And they're so tiny.
They're so tiny. Listen, I might be the old man shaking his fist at a cloud right now. But I was so beyond like blown away by how everybody just kind of nimbled through the airport. Like there's just no care in the world. And I'm just like, I feel like no one's paying attention anymore.
No, I have to say German efficiency sometimes. I don't want to say Germans should take over the world, but we could use some of their tactics sometimes at an airport, perhaps.
Like I'm.
They line up. You go to a club in Berlin. Oh, it's single file and nobody's talking. Yeah.
But you know, it's just been something that's been on my mind because I thought to myself, now this don't make no damn sense.
Well, I think truly if people see you in an airport now, they will be intimidated. And hopefully I think it'll like butterfly effect, like ripple through the airport, you know?
You listen, I hope so. I saw this lady to me was like, why are you following me so closely? Because she was walking slow. And I said, well, move out the way.
Yeah. Wow. See? Conversation
it's like
over.
It's like traffic. Get your ass out the way.
Yeah.
When you see a G walking through.
Well, by the way, we can talk also just about real traffic and what people are doing, too.
Yes.
I always say once upon a time, we had a car horn to alert somebody that we're about to collide. Now we use the car horn to tell other people they're driving a car. You stopped in the middle of the street. You're not turning. There's a left-hand arrow.
Yes.
People are distracted. The left-hand arrow is lasting for 3 seconds.
That's right.
Yeah.
And people are distracted in their car. We are like at the peak of distraction. But I want everyone to know things will be there when you're done.
Yeah.
Like your phone will be there. The people you're talking to. The man who was in the flip-flops with the stroller, you are on my list. Because watching Doomsday while you put your baby through LAX is crazy work.
That is tough.
So, you know, I mean,
maybe he's a huge Rebecca Romijn fan.
Clearly.
Yeah.
He was surprised about Mystique like I was.
He's like, I gotta keep watching.
We had to double check. I said, no, she ain't coming back. Rebecca said, I'm coming back. I love, by the way, shout out to her and Jerry O'Connell. I love them together.
Cute couple. Yeah.
See, we end to keep, might keep it on nice note.
Sure, sure.
What about yours?
My keep it this week is about an ongoing conversation about the Oscars, which concerns a movie called Obsession that I finally saw. I'm sorry, I would rarely ever apologize for getting to a movie late. I am sorry it took me so long to watch this phenomenal movie that everyone cares about.
Oh, you loved it.
No.
Oh.
I did not. It's a phenomenon. Do you know what this movie is about?
Yes.
This guy makes a wish on like a talisman he finds in a store that he wants this girl to like him more than she likes anybody else on earth. Okay, I guess he should have worded it better because she just starts trying to kill him.
Right.
This is a be careful what you wish for movie. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing we used to handle in episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Well, I was like, did it feel like adult Goosebumps?
Yes. Oh, yes. There's literally a Be Careful What You Wish For Goosebumps book. Yeah. But literally, I am referring to the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode with the Sandman played by Bobcat Goldthwait. He was phenomenal. But anyway, in this movie, so again, it's just a wish gone awry. That's the whole movie. This actress, Indy Navarrete, who does a good job in the role where she's, you know, now obsessed with this guy because he made this wish. But she's not even a character, really. She's really just an entity that is obsessed with him.
Right.
So she's kind of left to do nothing but, you know, tilt her head to the side and be like, love me more. She doesn't even get the opportunity to make novel acting choices. And I keep hearing people be like, oh, she should be an Oscar consideration. I'm like, she's not even really playing a full character,
right.
I don't think. She gets one acting moment at the end when... due to plot elements that are set up, the spell breaks off, and then you see her snap out of it, and she does a little bit of who the character would really be for a second, but that's only for like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it as an acting triumph, really. Like, honestly, I think the character of Megan, the sassy doll from earlier, has more dimension than this character.
Really?
I honestly think the main guy in this movie gets more to do from an acting perspective.
Sure.
His name's Michael Johnston. He was on Teen Wolf for years. There are impressive elements of this movie. And you know what's really hard to debate when it comes to horror? Whether or not it actually scared you.
Right.
Like, I don't think that often
has... It's relative, right?
It's so relative. And I guess, you know, humor similar, whatever. But it's just, I didn't find this movie scary either. I thought it was going for satire in certain points. But it wasn't, I didn't find it to be that adroit when it was satirical.
Did you find it to be creepy?
No, because it was just, once you establish that she is just this entity who's obsessed with you, you know the whole story.
Right.
Again, we could have dealt with it in 19 minutes, and on Are You Afraid of the Dark, we would have gotten a little campfire sequence at the end.
See, you wanted this to be like a short film.
Yes.
Probably would have hit you better if it was a short film.
Agreed. I felt like it was an elongated short film, ultimately.
Yeah, they stretched that thing out. People are, I will say, obsessed with it.
I'm happy this original movie is this popular,
sure.
and that people are obsessed with it in a theater, too.
Yeah, and I do love that it's original, right?
Yeah.
Because I do think we're in the world of remakes right now, so anything original, I'm here for it.
Yeah, but just when it comes to these horror movies, I thought Backrooms was much better. I'm surprised that that's sort of the second tier in this conversation.
And you know, it always is a thing, though, when something is a buzz that I do sometimes feel like people fake interest for the sake of conversation. And I'm never going to be that person. You know, and listen, we could talk about topics on here, but if in a personal conversation where everybody's posting about it and really obsessed with it and they really don't enjoy it, it's a thing now. You know, it's almost this thing where they just want to be included in the conversation. Have you noticed that?
Which is like, instead of wanting to be included in the conversation, how about you make the conversation?
Listen,
sweet girl.
Baby. Woo, now you spitting.
Yeah. Let's have some fun.
I mean, listen,
don't tell me what I want to hear.
Originality.
I want to hear people not be cliched. How about that?
That part. That's what, listen, I would rather you tell me you hate something than just like, you know, just have this conversation with me for the sake of just being part of something that's trending. The problem is everybody is trying to operate in real life like they're on Twitter, on Threads.
Yes.
Let's have a trending conversation.
Yeah, right.
Let's not.
Also, it's like being a hater is so much fun and you can get so good at it.
Just because I don't like something that's popular doesn't even mean I'm a hater. It just means, like, I don't like the shit you like.
Yeah, right.
You know, we also, that's okay, by the way, in this day and age. Like, we don't have to like the same thing and nobody's bad.
No, everybody's tastes are, like, utterly catered to. So, you know what I mean?
Percent.
There's a place for everybody, unfortunately.
Yes. And, I also think, like, back to not everything is for everyone. It's okay if this is not for you.
Yeah. Though I have to tell you, it is my pet peeve sometimes when people go back to that. When people, oh, well, it wasn't really for me. And they're talking about like the Beyonce album. Yeah, it was.
You're like,
what
no,
are you talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm offended.
Yeah, right. No, say something substantial here.
Somebody tell that to Andy Serkis.
Yeah, right. Remember her?
Well, listen, I think we've covered a lot today.
Jesus Christ, too much.
We covered a lot, but yeah. I do want to go back and see The Odyssey in IMAX. I'm going
to
drag you
I
with
unfortunately
me.
Have to agree.
Yeah.
I think I do need to see it again. I want to see the full experience.
Yeah.
I want to be a film bro.
Now, I will say we're going to have to bring diapers.
Yeah, right.
Because you in that thing for 3 to 5 business days.
No kidding.
You in that thing for get a blanket.
I wish I like drank like Fireball or something because we could do a shot when Samantha Morton appears.
Exactly, because you can't leave. There's no moment where it's good to leave.
Oh no, I refuse to pee during the
movie. Yeah, I did once, and I missed the entrance to Hades.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, and it was
which
one
by
of
the way, Elliot Page.
Yeah,
quite good in this movie. I thought
very good, and also everybody
in that sequence too.
And everybody miscast initially and thought that Elliot Page was playing Achilles. That was not true. So I'm glad we were able to clear that up.
Also, by the way, I forgot to mention the moment when Lupita Nyong'o as Clytemnestra like kills. That was a good moment too.
Really good and too fast.
Yeah. No, she's in that movie for like 40 seconds.
Oh, can we say really quickly?
Yeah.
Agamemnon had that shit on.
Oh please.
Agamemnon had that shit on, baby. Keep the helmet on, though.
Yeah, right. No, oh, absolutely.
No shade.
By the way, if you read the Ted Hughes adaptations of, like, the Agamemnon plays with Clytemnestra, Clytemnestra is that bitch in those.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
That's, like, one thing from college I'm glad I read. Anyway.
Yeah, it was... You know, people were talking shit about the costume, and I was like, I don't care where era this is from, baby. This shit is... They did that thing.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah, everybody looked great. Anyway, thank you all for listening. We'll be back with a new episode next week.
See you then. Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Reston, Kelsey Gante, Kendra James, Lindsay Gomez, and me, Louis Vertel. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, Mia Kalman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.